WNST, Towson, Baltimore. Baltimore Positive, we're positively a drug city. The sign above Allison Elliott's head says so. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We have the Maryland Lottery scratch-offs. $5 winner. I don't know what you're going to do with all that dough, Allison. We had a $2 winner yesterday. Calvin. The problem is some people win $100. They just think at the sale, come tell me. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like if you win the $1.2 billion, and I know you guys have got tickets downstairs here at Drug City, I'm not going to come in and get an adjustment. First of all, I come Monday and you won, your door's going to be shut. So I'm going to have to find a new chiropractor.
That's how you know we're going to win.
Yeah. Yeah.
If
you show up and the door's locked, tell me. That's what's happening.
But I did have a $100 winner at Coco's about 3 weeks ago, and we had some winners at Casas yesterday. I'm glad we had a winner here on number 19. This is number 20, so Frank Robinson, maybe this is the lucky one. Steve Elliott, Allison Elliott here, all courtesy of our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. If you need windows, I can't recommend it enough. They've been great with me, all of our sponsors that have kept us alive for 25 years, including this family. I mean, we're like a real local business here. We're not Odyssey. We're not Clear Channel, Radio One, or Amazon, or Apple, or Google. We're a drug city in Dundalk. You got a family chiropractic practice. And when I think of that, you mentioned Cameron and baseball, and I've never been in your place where like a member of your family's not there. And I brought this up yesterday with Costas. I was at Costas. Pete Sunning himself, Nick late duty, Mr. Costas brings me beer and disappears. He refuses to come on. And we went up with Christine. I said, I don't think I've ever been in here where there hasn't been a member of your family literally in the building. Man, that's old fashioned. That's like Drug City. I mean, you know, like that's Baltimore though, right? Isn't that a beautiful part of it? They don't have that in Texas. They don't have that in places that are new and built up. That this community's been here. 1954, this place has been here, you know?
Yeah, I can't speak for this place. First time here. And it is a trip. I walked in downstairs and I was like, holy cow, they've got everything in here. I mean, from...
I texted him and said, help, where do I go?
It's y'all got to come down here and visit. This place is awesome.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's fun. Drug City, it's fun to say. But it's been a part of my life, so when I say it out loud, it doesn't, like, I don't titter about what's Drug City or whatever. I remember...
In 1954, that was a different thing.
I used to drive up to Hershey on 83. Maybe you remember this. Well, you know the barbell guy, right, on 83, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. There was a place in downtown York where the road bends, like King Queen Street or whatever. Yep. There used to be a giant sign on the side of the highway. It was stood above everything, and it just was a light, and it said drugs. And I used to pass by there. I'm like, we're passing by drugs, you know. This is during the Reagan administration, so, you know, all that Nancy just say no and all that. So when I say Drug City, I sort of think of that a little bit. But I've been coming here my whole life, and the fountain. But for you guys and family chiropractic, and you guys helping me, my wife, my son, everybody in the family, you guys see people every single day, and it really is a community thing. And I think that has been the thing. The reason I'm here 25 years, as I shared my Dundalk Eagles story that was written 25 years ago this week. The community and sticking together, that's the anti-Walmartification that we talk about politically, socially, and what the root of the community is I was at the local the other day, and they proudly are serving local beer, right? Like independent, and you talked about being up in Bel Air. Local is the basis of everything we're going to do, your food, everything.
Yeah. As far as our practice is concerned, you know, in our office, we don't view the folks that we take care of so much as patients as they are extended family members. I mean, these are folks that are coming in to be taken care of, and we try and treat them like family. And that's just the sort of our philosophical approach towards care and towards how we run our practice. You know, I say this all the time. I have probably, if my accountant knew what I've done financially, she'd be very upset with me because I have most likely given away far too much care. Just because, and that's, you know, and I guess I shouldn't say this stuff on air. It's not smart advertising, you know, talking about how dumb you are as a businessman. But since these folks are all family members to me, it's, you know, it's sort of how.
Well, it's not a taxi ride, right? You know what I mean? It's not a one-time transactional. You're I got a shot in my spine a year and a half ago. You know this, right?
Yeah.
Very transactional. I met the doctor when he put the needle in me, and I told him the anesthesia, the painkiller wasn't working. Right. I didn't know him.
Right.
He never had to see me again. I did a teleconference with a guy that, quite frankly, I was calling lawyers thinking whether I had it. Because I was in pain, man.
Yeah.
You know, but I never met that guy. And meanwhile, like, every time I'm in, your hands are on me and your eyes are on me and my wife, and you're like, I care about you. I have to care about you, or why would I have a practice? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I have to care about our community here.
Sure.
What I put out of this microphone is what I believe and what I know to be true.
Mm-hmm.
That's always been my you know, your truth is helping people. That's where you are.
And that's, yeah, and that's sort of where I am and how it's been since, you know, 1989 when I opened. So, and that's just, I don't know if it's inculcated just because of where we're from. You know, a very family-centric sort of town, because I think places like Cleveland and Pittsburgh and
Buffalo.
But you
practice a mile and a half from where you grew up, right?
Correct, which is not always a great idea. You can't be a prophet in your own hometown. Somebody wrote that a long time ago. it's actually kind of cool. I still see folks that I grew up with. I have school teachers that are patients of mine. You know, people that I looked up to when I was a kid and helped me get to where I am today, and they're patients. So, you know, my next door neighbor from when I was a little kid is a patient of mine, and he's been a patient for a long time. So, yeah, it's interesting practicing a mile from where you grew up.
Now, where'd you guys meet? Because I know you as like a unit. Was he a chiropractor in chiropractic school?
He was in school. And,
so you knew you were marrying a chiropractor.
So here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to go back to the last thing, the last segment, and you were saying, the Orioles might win the World Series. Who knows? As a Georgia girl, really think the Orioles are going to beat the Braves in the World Series?
Oh, gosh. Really?
She's going to do that. She's right. Stirring it up. Didn't you have a good enough football season? We got your offensive coordinator. Root for him.
Threw a hand grenade right into the room. Golly days.
Well, you went to chiropractic school in Georgia.
In Atlanta.
Atlanta.
Yep.
You've never heard this story?
I don't think I asked this on the air at the time. You guys sat in one time, and I remember we were at Nacho Mama's. My back hurt like hell. I was right. It was during a bad period football season. I was kicking the crab cake, tore off. I don't know that I don't know how you met.
All right, so here's the story. I was at a nightclub with a friend of mine, a coworker.
Buckhead?
No.
All right.
Outside of Marietta.
Of Marietta. And he walked by, and I turned to my friend. I said, "Look, Stace, there goes the man of my dreams."
Ooh.
And he was heading toward the bathroom. And about, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes later, what song comes on?
Neutron Dance by the Pointer Sisters.
It comes on.
That's your song.
She asked me to dance.
No, I asked him to dance, and the rest is history.
1984?
Five.
I was going to say, I know that song. I remember when the song was.
Yeah. Second Wednesday of January of 1985. She asked me to dance, and it's been over ever since.
You are an eclectic soul talking about Pointer Sisters. And like, because whenever I come into your place, you have... It's second place. Your music's not as good as the Royal Farms Pumps. Royal Farms is really good music. You know what I mean? I've said this.
That's awesome.
When you pump gas at Royal Farms, you always hear a good song. You do. It's true.
Never thought of that.
Well, do you pump gas at Royal Farms? You should. They're my sponsor.
I sure do.
But make sure you're listening to the music. Even when it's cold as hell and you're out there in December and it's 12 degrees, you're like, I'm just doing the Neutron Dance. You know, because Neutron Dance would be in that mix. So I come into your place. You play great music, but you read more books. Than anybody I know, other than maybe Eric DaCosta, and I don't really know him anymore because he screwed me over. But you read a lot of books, and then you have this eclectic, they're not bobbleheads, what are those little things called?
Pop dolls.
And you've always had a Pee Wee Herman, and you've always had a John Taylor from Duran Duran behind you. You have a rough year. I mean, your friggin' little dolls need. Don't get a Geddy Lee, whatever you do. Leave Geddy alone.
Popped.
But the Pee Wee Herman thing, I haven't talked about Pee Wee on the air, and I should. And if my son's got COVID, his wife's got COVID, he would be here today. My son's not don't start rumors that my son wasn't a part of the 25th anniversary.
Do you not know what HIPAA's about, man? Don't talk about them having COVID.
Oh, that'll cost me my media status, you know. But, you know, I think for like your place and all of these weird little idiosyncrasies, the Pee Wee Herman thing is all, I always see it. I was right behind you and I see it and I'm like, I wonder, you know, what's up with Pee Wee? And Pee Wee dies.
Big fan.
I know you're a big fan. And my son was the biggest Pee Wee Herman. I mean, my son was born in 84. So I want to say 89, 90, 91, 92, videotapes, Saturday morning, Playhouse, the whole deal, right? My son loved Pee Wee Herman. It was his favorite thing when he was a kid, you know? And I know you love Pee Wee.
I was an early fan. I was doing Pee Wee impersonations back when I was a freshman in college. So we're talking 1980, 81. I was a Pee Wee fan back then. And there's a picture. I stole this T-shirt from somebody. And it was a Pee Wee Herman T-shirt. That's what, maybe 86, on the houseboat, and I'm sitting there. Maybe 86, and I've got a Pee Wee Herman. I've loved him for a long time.
Yeah, it takes a guy dying, or like Sinead O'Connor, and you start to see they did like a lot of things that I didn't see in life, but like, and then things you remember. Like Pee Wee Herman was in a Cheech and Chong movie. Like Pee Wee like showed up in at MTV in these Christmas videos where he's in the back dancing during the Billy Squire. Like Pee Wee was like immersed as a public figure popping up almost like a Where's Waldo thing, right?
Right.
And the whole movie theater thing that after his thing or whatever. But it's amazing like how a pop culture icon like that dies, and my association is this little thing you have that's kept it. He's in front of me because I'm in your chiropractic office a couple times a week, and I'm like, what happened to him? I haven't heard from him, you know. And it feels like a Saturday Night Live skit that lasted his whole lifetime. It was such an incredible character that he's not known as Paul Rubens, he's known as Pee Wee Herman, and that character, he dressed up in that suit way into his 60s and did really funny, poignant, all of it's poignant, because it's all from a child's, an innocent point of
sweet. It's very sweet.
Yes. It's very innocent.
Right? Did you see any, how many people would talk about how he sent them cards, always sent them birthday cards? I mean, just...
I'll miss your birthday cards,
dozens
right?
and dozens of these, you know, stars, a lot of comedians and everything. He
kept people.
Oh, he did.
Yeah.
He really kept
people.
And
you never would have known that. And it takes dying to learn that. It sucks. I mean, because I didn't necessarily want to talk about Pee Wee Herman, but I saw your figurine. And when he died, I was going to text you and say, man, I'm sorry. You know, like the day Geddy Lee, you know. I'm not going to talk about it anymore. But he didn't show up at the Blue Jay series, and I'm worried. He was there last week. It was his 70th birthday. I hope he's off enjoying himself, playing the bass somewhere. But, you know, as we get older, man, you know, we start losing people, and we all have associations to our favorite this or our favorite. I mean, I had a bad talk Bruce Springsteen. I don't want anything to happen to him. But, yeah, I mean, the Sinead O'Connor thing, even, like, with her life and, you know, the ripping that thing, and so I remember all that, but I didn't think on a daily basis. And now I hear her music, and I'm like, man, her music was better than
she had an awesome voice.
She's incredible.
Yeah,
right. Why do people have to die for us to love them like this, huh?
Yeah, show them while they're alive, right?
All right, so your kid's gambling on baseball. I got to talk to you about
this. Stay out of that. Although I do see he's down there, and he's got like computer screen, a TV screen, and it's like, you know, separated up. He's watching.
So I've known your kid since he was 5 years old. He didn't start talking baseball with me until like last year.
He's an avid sports fan. He has more freaking sports knowledge in his head. Stupid stuff.
I don't even know. He's an introvert. He doesn't talk to me about it.
He could sit down and he could sit on here and you could bring up any team, anything.
Well, then why doesn't he co-host?
I don't know. He should come in.
It's a family chiropractic. I got another mic. You know, I could have done it.
He could offer some bon mot.
Well, look, man, a month ago, I talked to Joe Enoch. It's not that you're not in this circle. I didn't bother you. I probably should have, but I don't talk to you in this way. So Joe Enoch, Bill Cole, and Greg Landry from Towson Transfers. And Greg's right around the corner from
you. Yeah, I know Greg.
Right, yeah. Yep. So the three of them, I reached them about a month ago. My wife went out of town 4th of July, and I was like, I want to put a 25th in. I was really inspired by the lottery, right? And that's why I ask you're 34 years right now. You started in 89. So I feel like we met within 30 days of me either starting the station before or right after I went. Sometime in July, or I've known you 25 years this month. About that. I mean, that's when we started the station. So I was thinking, like, what am I going to do for my 25th anniversary? This 50th anniversary thing got me, and I'm like, well, I'm only going to do it once. Let's blow it up, make it a big deal. We made a big deal about our Sweet 16 as a station 9 years ago. We had a little logo and a cake. Jessica Vallis put together this beautiful logo with fireworks. It looks like a Disney thing, and a cupcake for our 25th, and I thought, I said to all three of them, what are we going to be known for? What's WNST? What's my legacy at WNST? And they're like, oh, my God, your legacy's people and memories and community, like bringing people together. And I'm like, okay, so I have all these pictures. Because sometimes it's egotistical about me, and when I was with Art Donovan, or when we did this show, or when I did that show at the barn, or wasn't that fun, or wasn't that show good, or whatever. This is more, Joe's like, this is about people and you gathering bus trips, parties, walk-ins, walk-outs, Free the Birds, like all of that stuff. So I started going through all the 25 years of this, and the thing that really occurred to me is how sports-centric I was then, not just in my passion for sports, but in the way that we wanted to be a sports thing. And then 25 years later, I got a baseball team and a football team that have appreciated my work so much that they've thrown me out. And I've wind up talking about Pee Wee Herman. But this is where the sports thing again, and we talked about this for 20 minutes with Bill Yerman, it's back front and center again. And yeah. I'm really pleased with that part of the 25th anniversary, that I'm going back and reading this stuff, and that hope that we had in 98 that one day the Ravens might win one Super Bowl, and then Ray Lewis might one day go to the Hall of Fame, and one day we might be as good as the Cowboys or better than the Redskins or whatever those thoughts were in 98. The baseball thoughts in 98 were, look at that stadium. Look at this. Look at Cal Rel. Oh, man, we're, you know, the Orioles are. You're gonna, and it all went ish, right? Yeah. Forever. And now, as I celebrate 25 years, it really feels like a new opening where nobody's ever going to think of me as anything other than a sports guy, right? You know, I've just been doing it too long, right? I mean, you go make pies for the rest of your life, you'll be a chiropractor, right? People think of you're rugby because you've been doing rugby forever, right? Yeah. I'll always be a sports guy. My last name's Aparicio, but the fact that sports is back and relevant, I see it in our traffic, I see it in your shirt, I see it in your son, I see it in your mother, Chuck's wearing Orioles gear. I mean, it's that electric, and it was that missed. You know, all of it was missed, and bringing that together after all these years, it's what brings a community together, maybe more than any religion, any neighborhood, anything, you know?
Between 84 and 90, whatever it
six.
Was, six, right? What was it like?
One-trick pony, right?
Right, and it was a one-trick pony with 6 months of games and 6 months of talks about games, right?
And the Winter Carnival.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But, you know, there was a big dead spot in the middle of our sports lives.
Watching the Colts play on turf in Indianapolis.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, sports has a central unifying effect that it gives people a tangible thing to root for in their city. And it's a surrogate for the city, right? So when your team is not doing well, people are down on your city, so to speak, especially from outside. All they think about when they think about Baltimore, if they're not talking about Freddie Gray or whatever else is going on in the national news, is, oh, how's your team's doing, right? People don't talk about, you know, Wichita from, you know, people will talk about Kansas City because they've got
percentage of people any day. I come in, I sign your ledger when I, so I'm thinking 30 to 50 people you see on any given day. Percentage to come in and talk baseball with you is an icebreaker now. Like, literally come in. You adjust them. They come in, Allison, Cameron, baseball, whatever. That you're always wearing an Orioles shirt lately. So it'd be the first thing I'd say. Hey, good game. Ah, relief pitching. Ah, Hyde. He doesn't know what he's doing. Ah, he should have dealt for somebody else. Ah, Flaherty. They should send down Cowser. Like all the stuff that I hear everywhere I go. Yeah. You know,
it's not 100%. That's for sure. And you also, since there are family members, I also know who's not interested and who
right,
is.
Right, of course.
Right. So it's not just, you know.
But the ones who are.
They are
big time
and more so. Of late.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's made it good, I think.
Yeah, I think it's great for a community. It creates a central thread for people to, you know, to communicate through.
Be pissed off at the manager together.
Right. I mean, you know, a minute ago that you were talking about what you were doing is being a conduit for people in your community. Right? When there's like...
Well, we took phone calls. That was an outlet. I mean, there was no internet. I mean, I'm never going to be that again. I mean, I have to rethink that, you know?
No. Listen, every guy I talked to that used to be an on-air guy in the sports rodeo world, hates that. Hates having to deal with
it's not even
Bill
that.
From Falston.
I want to give you the because I got good calls in the 90s. What built my show. And we would always say, a good call, let it be bat out of hell or, you know, paradise. But let a good caller off 12 minutes.
Yeah.
Bad caller's got to be a bad Beatles song or else. Get them off in a minute. You know, like somebody that's short. But we had a wide variety. And nobody wanted to call and be a jackwagon. They wanted to elevate the conversation in the 90s. By the time we got to the aughts, and I got myself off the air in 05, it was the same people calling to hear their voice. They had nothing to add. And then there was the, I'm on hold.
Oh.
I have, you know, and then the internet happened, 6, 7, 8.
So basically,
once the internet happened and they could go here, phone quality of phone calls had already eroded to the point where I didn't want to do it anymore. And the people I knew who were intelligent kind of callers, they're not the kind of caller that's going to hang on hold for 15 minutes through your ad and through a 2020 sports flash.
So in essence, they were presaging social media, right? People that social media is all about me, I, me, me, compare, compare, compare.
But they at least had to wait on hold, get through my screener. Andy was here early. Andy said, I screen calls. I'm like, oh, my God. Can you imagine screening the internet? No. You know? Well, no. I mean, that's what he had to do. And Ray would always, Ray would put a caller up on a glass, and he'd go like this.
Like,
in other
sure.
words, the guy's going to tell you to screw your mother any minute. And I had 7-second delay. And we, like, I swear, Ray would know that this guy's a jackass, right? And then they would call from phone booths. Like,
oh, really?
I'm not even kidding you. There, Ray would say, I'm going to make this. Ray would come in, I'm taking a leak, and it's between, we get to 2020. And Ray's like, yeah, I got a guy on hold on one. I think he's full of shit. Let him sit 20 more minutes, and we'll see if he really wants to get on her. And then I'd wait, and the guy would come on, and sure enough, you know, do you have King Albert in a can? You better let him out for you. Yeah, way worse than that, you know, way worse than that, you know. And then there were the people calling with higher conversations that were, I like Tony Banks because of the color of his skin. I like Trent Dilfer because of the colors. So you could just, and you know, like I had all of that pre-Trumpy social media thing, and much like Richard Scherer on Square Off, I had to be the gavel of, you're off, 7-second delay, dump. I don't have any of that anymore.
See, that was...
Those, you know what I have? Block. Nighty-night.
Those people are now internet trolls. That's what they are, right?
Correct.
That was the precursor to the internet troll.
A guy said to me the other day, and I'll give his name, Adam Hyman. He's a troll. He's a professional. He's on my page. I don't know why I let him on. He always goes to the end of the plank. The other day, I wrote something about the trading deadline and Jack Flaherty, which, by the way, he'll be pitched well on Thursday, universally panned, like as a real move to win the Super Bowl, to win the World Series. It's just a move. It wasn't a money move. They didn't give a lot. They didn't give a lot. They're not going to get a lot. They get a number three starter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe they can win the World Series. Fine. So I just basically, I was lukewarm, but I'm not panning it. I mean, they did the best they could do. I didn't want to give up Holly. I mean, on a sports talk basis, I can make it case that this was a certainly they're a better team today than they were Tuesday, so that's great. So this guy's a jerk. He comes on, he's like, this sounds like butt hurt. So I hit reply. Sounds to me like you're viewing it from your rectum. You sound like a premium troll. And he went on, he just took the comment down. He's like, all right, I lose. So, and I'm like, you know, one more. And I view the social media as like, I love you guys. And I got invited to my buddy John's pool this weekend. I wouldn't pee in his pool and think that I could come back a second time to do it again, right? So I've always looked at my social media as like, you're reading it. My mother used to read it. My son reads it. You're not going to come in and get a cheap shot in the nuts on me. You're going to get one. Make it good. You're going to pee in my pool one time, and then you're never going to see the pool again. And I had to do it that way. And when I met you, and this speaks to that letter I wrote in the Sun that I shared, I was trying to get every listener I could get. I wanted every listener I could get and every caller. We would judge over, how many calls did you get today? Oh, a lot of calls. That was sort of a measurement that we had.
Yeah.
And then you come to a point in your life where you're like, I don't want every listener.
Right.
I remember reading Adam Clayton making U2 albums 20 years ago. He's like, you know, we're just at a point where, like, we're not doing this to get more people. We're doing this because it's our art and it's what we do. And
right.
If you love it, you love it. If you don't, you don't. But we're not going to be affected by it. We're artists. And I felt the same way about me. Like, I was like, I'm not the naysayers, and they never go away. The trolls are like,
no.
I mean, it's the Howard Stern movie. They are listening to me. Todd Locklear, I know you're out there. And the people that say, I have a guy that sent me hate mail for I have him back to 2003. I have 20 years. I've never answered one. I don't think he knows I even read it. I don't really read it. I just file it now. I see his name. I have 300 pieces of hate mail. From the same email address from the same guy for 20 years.
It's a lot of work.
I'm not making this up.
You gotta appreciate that.
Like, it is unbelievable.
Commitment.
I hope he's a patient of yours. No, I don't. Really, I don't. Well, but that's the point. You advertise to me hoping that my audience get bigger. You know, there's a point when social media came where it's like, I don't want all of you.
No.
I really don't.
It's the old quantity versus quality. Right?
Right.
Yeah, I'd rather have better quality. Quantity is, you know, it can be overrated. So, you know, it's just an interesting sort of, how do we deal with that?
Block!
In my office, we have this concept of that there's a lot of healthcare out there that is high-tech, low-touch. And our office is high-touch, low tech.
Well, she's on a computer all the time. She's on Spotify.
Believe me.
I got Baltimore County Executive Johnny over here. All right, so Johnny's here. He thinks this is going to be light and airy because he's in Dundalk and he's enjoying a milkshake.
Yep, we're giving it up.
Chuck's going
to
come on. I've only got one complaint for you today. It doesn't have anything to do with Colgate.
Complaints?
Well, I mean, I complained until he opened Colgate. And now
the guy is doing you a favor.
I'm going to give him love. This is the only complaint I have about Baltimore County. And this involves my friends here own a business on Joppa Road. I got his attention. I just can't accept. Whoever painted the lanes in the middle of Joppa Road, it's too narrow. And I don't know if this is your problem or not, but it's your county. And if it's not your problem and you want to pass it on, I'm going to give you a couple minutes to think about it. You can use the restroom. But
this is not for me, sir. I did not send this letter. It's for...
I did not line Joppa Road, Johnny O. I've done a lot of things. Baltimore County Executive Johnny O has been good enough to join us on a Friday afternoon because he wants to get off of work. I'm going to see the Smithereens in Hershey in a couple hours. I'm not going to hold you long. This is going to be nice and easy. It's going to be better than when Mohler was here hitting you with all the tough questions. I'm just going to softball you today. Allison, I love you. You can come back anytime you want. And I'm sorry about Pee Wee, all right?
Yep.
Don't buy any of those, what are they called?
Pop dolls.
I didn't know what I was in a record store up in Buffalo about 6 months ago, and I saw they had a whole. They have Rush. They have.
Yeah.
Don't buy the Bryan Adams one. I'm off of that.
Okay.
People are dying and getting cancer in your pop doll collection. I'm a little worried.
Those are my favorites. So you're
who's the next one? Or any of them?
Bill Shatner.
whoa, don't do that. Steve Elliott and Allison Elliott Chiropractic Family Life. And I'll say this before Johnny gets here. If you get in that center lane, don't stay in it long when you're making the left. I'm Nestor. We're WNSD. Back for more. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery and our friends here at Drug City and Window Nation. Stay with us.